It's just such a chance to I just love talking about God. I just love that. And this is a wonderful time to be able to do that. And I'm just really, really happy to be here. And I just want to invite everybody again to join us on Wednesday nights. And we're going to go to Station ID. I just love hearing Lola's voice interspersed in there now. That's so cute. So we were talking before the top of the hour about, and we're going to get into how the covenant we have with God measures up to the one he gave Abraham. And it's, so if everybody, we'll be going into Hebrews chapter 6. Again, Hebrews is a wonderful book. If you ever get a chance, read all the way through it. It's a great book. But we also have a covenant with God. And because of that, we can proclaim things about ourselves that nobody else can. Or, I mean, they can proclaim them. And it might be positive thinking. But in our case, it's a positive confession based on the Word of God, backed by the covenant that we have with God. So kind of keeping that in mind, I want to do the song "Hello, My Name Is" by Matthew West.
Hello, my name is Regret. I'm pretty sure we have met. Every single day of your life, I'm the whisper inside that won't let you forget. Hello, my name is Defeat. I know you recognize me. Just when you think you can win, I'll drag you right back down again till you've lost all belief. Oh, these are the voices. Oh, these are the lies. And I have believed them for the very last time. Hello, my name is Child of the One True King. I've been saved, I've been changed, I have been set free.
another great song. And that I like that song, Angel, because it reminds me what comes out of my mouth can define who I am. So, and of course.
Absolutely.
And,
yeah.
and
we need that from time to time. I think we forget who we are in relation to God.
Exactly. Exactly. I just want to say to everyone, I just got a text from Megan, who was going to be on. Unfortunately, that she can't get out of the field with 600 bales of hay. So,
oh, goodness gracious.
I know. I feel so sorry for her. I told her, I said, keep cool. I can't imagine baling 600 bales of hay. That just, it frightens me. So I do want to take a moment here before we go on to just talk a little bit, to remind also our listeners that we have a prayer ministry at Beacon of Hope. Betty and Shell, we receive the prayer requests that come in, and we encourage you to send us those. Don't worry about how large, how small. We played the song earlier, Impossible Things. Nothing is too big for God, and believe me, nothing is too small. Sometimes you may think, well, this is just such a small and insignificant prayer request. It doesn't matter. If it's a prayer request, you can send it to us at prayers, P-R-A-Y-E-R-S, at bohmglobal.com. Either myself or Betty or Shell will pick up the prayer request. We will send it out. We will attach a prayer to it. We'll send it out to our prayer team. So, please, send us your prayer requests. We love to get them. And we want to pray for you. And kind of like what we're talking about today, we often include like promises in the prayer requests that we send out because we know how powerful that is, especially when people are praying for you. And the only thing that we ask in return is that when God answers your prayer, if you would send us back a praise report, because I do like to keep track of those. I have a special subfolder in my email where I keep answered prayers. So more than happy to do that. So if let's go over to Hebrews chapter 6. And Hebrews is such a great book because all the way through it talks about the superiority or the excellence of Jesus, how he is better than what had come before. And over in Hebrews chapter 6 with verse 13, he said, "For when God made the promise to Abraham, he swore an oath by himself, since he had no one greater by whom to swear." So normally in a covenant, you swear by, you know, whatever God you serve. Okay? In that culture, you know, you'd swear by whatever God you served. Well, obviously, as we talked about before the break, in Genesis 15, God was making this covenant on his own, so there wasn't anybody else he could swear to, you know, obviously, because he was it. So, and God said, "I will surely bless you and I will surely multiply you." In verse 15, and so having patiently waited, he realized the promise in the miraculous birth of Isaac as a pledge of what was to come from God. "Indeed, men swear an oath by one greater than themselves, and with them in all disputes the oath serves as confirmation of what has been said, is an end of the dispute." So the oath, the covenant, serves as an end, a confirmation, okay? This is what I've said to you, and I'm confirming it with this covenant, with this oath. In verse 17, "In the same way, God, in his desire to show to the heirs of the promise, which would be the children of Abraham, the unchangeable nature of his purpose, intervened and guaranteed it with an oath, so that by two unchangeable things, his promise and his oath, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled to him for refuge would have a strong encouragement and indwelling strength to to hold tightly to the hope set before us. And I know that's a big, big chunk of scripture. But what I wanted to point out here was God swore an oath, made a covenant with Abraham, and in the same way, in verse 17, it says, to show the heirs of the promise. Well, who would that be, Angel? Who might that be? Who are the heirs of that promise?
We are the heirs of the promise.
You bet we are. The unchangeable nature of his purpose. He intervened. I love it. I love the way the Amplified puts this. Intervened and guaranteed it with an oath. So that by two unchangeable things, his promise and his oath, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled to him for refuge would have strong encouragement and indwelling strength to hold tightly to the hope set before us. That is
one.
When
I hear you saying that, I start thinking, you know, in our culture especially, you know, the word, when people gave their word, it was like in the past, it meant something. That was it. It was binding. It was going to happen. And I think we lose what that means in our culture because our words are kind of been cheapened down. People give their word and they don't follow through and it's not binding and they change their mind, which is why we need all kinds of courts of law to sort things out.
Yeah. But
that word of God is so binding. It's absolute, unchanging. Like, to just wrap your head around something that is so constant and absolute is just kind of hard to do, I think, in a way.
Well, that's absolutely true. I agree because, yeah, and that's such a good point, that we've lost that being able, you know, to say a man is as good as, or a woman is as good as his or her word. You know, a person used to be a person was as good as their word. And you're absolutely right. Unfortunately, that's not so today.
No, no. It meant something. It was, you know, that reputation was important and it meant something. And, you know, the norm was that people followed their word and not following, you know, everybody knew who you were and knew not to, you know, enter in agreements with you. And today it's the opposite. I think very few people are true to their word and follow through. So that's the rarity. And we expect when somebody gives us their word, they're not going to follow through. You know what I'm saying? It's almost our expectation at some point.
Right, right. And because of that, we can't trust that other person.
Correct.
And I think sometimes, and now I'm going to sound like somebody in recovery, it's hard for us to trust God because we've never been able to trust other people. And
correct. I mean, relationships are relationships, and, you know, humans are what we get to, you know, understand that concept. And, you know, of course, we're going to relate our human experience and to the God experience because that's what we know. But you're right. God does not. He is absolute 100%, you know, said and done. His word is his word. And that is hard to wrap your mind around at times.
Yeah. And one of his names in the Old Testament is the faithful God. The faithful God. And he is. And one of the names of Jesus that's written on, you know, written on that robe, on that sash, when he comes back riding that white horse, faithful and true. And how wonderful is that? Because, you know, here God said, I've given you a promise. I've sealed it with a covenant. I've sealed it with an oath so that we can hold tightly to the hope set before us. And that's kind of the other thing I wanted to touch on here was we are a people without hope. You know, I can't go into detail, but there are going to be some major cutbacks where I work. And it's, you know, it's caused people to lose hope. The present political situation, no matter which side you're on, people have just lost hope. And, you know, I got to thinking about even Christians. And, you know, Peter talks about it in the second letter that he wrote. In the last days, scoffers will come saying, where is the promise of his coming? You know, we talked about that perfect timing. It's going to happen. It's going to be in his timing. But again, that's why we have to hold tightly to the hope set before us, because people just don't have it. I mean, I look around at my clients, at some of my coworkers, and it's kind of become eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. You know?
I agree.
It's just, I may start preaching here in a second. We have got to shine this out to other people, to the world. Because everything, you know, Angel, that you said and I've said, it's what the world has got to hear. It's what the world doesn't want to hear, but the world needs to hear it. And sometimes this is hard, because, you know, again, sounding like, well, because I am somebody in recovery, but if you know, we can lay the blame, well, you can't trust them. So I kind of like giving me an excuse to do what I want. Well, you can't trust God. Well, yeah, you can. And here, you know, it's right here that you can trust him. So you are without excuse. You know, you are responsible for the choices that you make. And, you know, we as Christians, and I'm speaking to not just you and I, and not just Beacon, but people who call themselves by the name of Jesus, who say they are followers of Jesus, we need to get our act together and get into the Word like never before. And get out of all this distracting stuff and fake news and just all the clamor around us, because just, you know, we're celebrating tomorrow 1 year anniversary, not really celebrating, but memorializing 1 year anniversary of the Pulse massacre. We just had two attacks in England. I mean, I know what Luke was writing when he quoted Jesus as saying, men's hearts failing them for fear of what's going on. And yet we have the ultimate hope, capital H, living inside of us, because we have Jesus. We have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. We know what's going to happen. We've read the last chapter of the book. We know who wins. And I'm not going to, you know, we've got to stop getting caught up in all this garbage that's going on and focus back on the Word. And focus on prayer, like you said, Angel, and focus on walking empowered by the Holy Spirit, because that's the only thing that's going to get us through. Ooh.
You're preaching it.
I was preaching it.
Feeding and starving. What we feed grows. And if we need the power of the Holy Spirit growing in us, we need to start feeding that. And, you know, we have so many cool ways in our technological society that we can. I mean, we can listen to the radio on the way to work, or we could put a praise playlist on. I have the audio Bible that I can listen to while I have to make, you know, my long drives across the state for work. Like, those are the things that totally uplift me, and it's in planting and it's growing those seeds of who my God is and who I am in him and what his promises are.
Amen. Amen. I fully agree. We need to take advantage, because heaven knows the devil's taking advantage of technology.
Absolutely.
We need to take advantage of it, because there's, like you said, audio Bibles. I have the radio on. I have, you know, praise God for CDs, you know, pop in praise CDs. I know Pastor has a lot of stuff on thumbnails. And she said as she was driving, you know, she said she'll just pop in a thumbnail and sing at the top of her lungs and praise God. And, you know, that's what we need to do, because we need to get the Word inside of us. We need to get the Holy Spirit to flow out of us so that the world can see a difference in us. In Isaiah, you know, he says, you know, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord will shine upon you, and all nations will come to your light. I'm paraphrasing it a bit, but that's what we need, because as the darkness increases, we need to shine our light even more. And I want to remind our listeners that, you know, God loves you. God loves you. And we're going to talk a little bit more about this covenant that he made, but, you know, he made it through Jesus. Built on better promises, he made it through Jesus. When Jesus went to the cross, that was God once again, symbolically, walking between those animals and saying, it's enough. It's enough. The blood of Jesus is enough. So I want to go to this next song, which is, and I just want our listeners really listen to this. The song is entitled You Are Loved by the group Stars Go Dim, and it's got a great message. I want to remind you, you are loved by God.
Broken souls with smiling faces, fighting for surrender, for now and the after, yeah. Just look around and you see that people are scared to say how they really feel. Oh, we all need a little honesty, yeah. You are loved. If your heart's in a thousand pieces, if you're lost and you're far from me, heroes, photoshopped, all size zeros, a light not expected, but not quite perfected, yeah. Look up, see the sun is shining, there's hope on a new horizon, calling you, it's coming.
Again, that was You Are Loved by Stars Go Dim. Kind of a great song for people, I don't know, well, for everybody, because it's just reminding us you don't have to be somebody else. You don't have to impress anybody. Just know that you are loved. And that's a great message. You can't go wrong with a message like that. So I want to scoot over to Hebrews chapter 9, and then we'll go to a couple of verses in Hebrews chapter 10. And then I just want to spend the rest of the time, you know, just talking. But in Hebrews chapter 9, starting with verse 11, the writer says, "But when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things to come, that is true spiritual worship, he entered through the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not a part of this material creation. He went once for all into the holy place, the holy of holies of heaven, into the presence of God, and not through the blood of goats and calves, but through his own blood, having obtained and secured eternal redemption, that is, the salvation of all who personally believe in him as Savior. For if the sprinkling of ceremonially defiled persons with the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a burnt heifer is sufficient for the cleansing of the body, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Holy Spirit willingly offered himself unblemished, that is, without moral or spiritual imperfection, as a sacrifice to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works and lifeless observances to serve the ever-living God." Wow. First of all, you know, Hebrews talks about Jesus being our high priest. And that makes him our intercessor. And he came, and, you know, on earth, Moses got the instructions for the tabernacle, the instructions for all the sacrifices. And if you've ever read through the book of Leviticus, you'll know there's a sacrifice for just about everything. And praise God, we are not under that. Because it says here that Jesus took his own blood before the Father in heaven into the Holy of Holies in the heavenly tabernacle and presented it. And that blood sacrifice is so much more superior than under the Old Covenant. Because under the Old Covenant, your sins were covered. Now, our sins are taken away. Think about the difference. Your sins would be covered. It's like you'd put a cloth over them. But now they're taken away completely. It's not that they're still there but covered up. They're gone. The blood of Jesus cleanses us, not just covers us, which it does, but it goes beyond that and cleanses us from our sins. And it cleanses, it says here in verse 14, cleanses our conscience from dead works and lifeless observances. I don't know about you, Angel, but I know I mentioned this on some Wednesday nights too, I had a real works-based relationship with God for a long time, just because that was kind of how, that was how I was brought up. In order to be loved, I had to do something. You follow? Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
Okay. So, and I had a hard time for a long time distinguishing that. That's why I really like that song, "You Were Loved," because it's kind of my life story. It took me a long time to distinguish that from really learning what unconditional love was. And I'm still learning. I mean, I haven't got the whole revelation and won't this side of heaven, I'm sure. But praise God, it's by faith, not by works. I don't, you know, some people think, well, you know, of course you get saved by faith, but then you have to do good works. And that's not the case. I mean, we should do good works because we want to, not because we're trying to get into God's good graces, you know, because we're already there. We can't work our way into God's presence now. And Pastor touched on that Wednesday night in Galatians chapter 3. Foolish Galatians, who bewitched you into thinking you could work your way into God's presence? Into thinking that by your works you're going to get miracles. By your works you're going to get the Holy Spirit. Paul said that's not how this works. It's by faith. It's by faith and faith alone. And I think that really scares people sometimes.
Oh, I agree with you. And I think part of that is because we can control our work. We have power. So when we have that control, we can decide when we're doing it, when we're not doing it. And it kind of gives us that false sense of, I don't know, power. But faith, that's not something, you know, not easy to do. I mean, you know, you're believing in something, the unseen, you know, and that's something that we can't control tangibly, like with our human sense that we like to try and do.
Right. Well, and I think
that's why so many people fall into that whole, I can work, and I'll be okay. But faith, hold on a minute now. That's different.
Exactly. And I think part of it's rooted in, I don't deserve it, so I have to work for it.
Self-punishment.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's almost like, and I know, I'm good at this. If I really screw up and do something completely stupid and sinful, it's like, okay, let me go do this and this, and then I'll feel like maybe better coming into God's presence. And it's not that at all. I mean, I need to every time I mess up, what I need to do is just go read 1 John chapter 2. You know, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one, and he is the propitiation, the atoning sacrifice for my sins. That's what we need to remember. We can't add anything to our salvation by works, by doing works. And that's what the writer of Hebrews is saying here. It's not by works. It's all been done by Jesus. And that's why back in chapter 8 of verse 6, it says that Jesus, the covenant that Jesus made was enacted on and rests on better promises. And that's it. Under the covenant with Moses, even though these acts had to be done in faith, the acts still had to be done. Okay, you still had to make the sacrifices. Now that's all been done for us. And I think part of what scares people is, I don't deserve it. And it's all kind of self-image thing. And I may be stepping on toes, but I just wonder if Charles Taze Russell or Joseph Smith had bad self-esteem. Because both the Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormonism, you know, there's that works component to that. And I think, and I like what you said, Angel, about being in control. Because Christianity is, true Christianity, Bible-based Christianity, is the biggest lack of control you can ever find. Like you said, you do it by faith. You trust in Jesus. You let him have control. And that goes,
right, our control, we're submitting our will, you know, and that's difficult.
Well, yeah, and that goes against the grain of so many people, because we don't want to submit to anyone, let alone God. You know, I don't want to submit to the police. I don't want to submit to the government. I don't want to submit to this or that or the other. And, yeah, I think that's part of it. And I would almost call it a spirit of rebellion. Lawlessness. Well, and that's actually a scriptural term, spirit of lawlessness. Because people think they don't have to go by the rules anymore. And
I think it's kind of our own need to kind of almost be our own God at some level. You know, that control and that power is, you know, when we hang on to it, it's not letting God have the throne. We want to stay on that throne in our life.
Right, right. When, of course, that goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden.
Yep.
You know, as I remember I titled a sermon once, "Old Lie, New Age, Old Lie." It's just the same old lie. You'll know the difference. You'll be like God, knowing the difference between right and wrong. Well, how'd that work for you? How'd it work for any of us? Because we all, in a sense, follow Adam and Eve in that we almost follow in their footsteps. Yeah, I want to be like God. I want to know good and evil. I want to experience everything apart from God. And that's just not the way we're built. The writer of Ecclesiastes said he put eternity in our hearts so that we could know him. I love that because the way we're built to know God. And, yeah, it means giving up ourselves. It means giving up our will, submitting our will to him. And people just don't want, you know, people don't like to do that. But I know, at least in my experience, the times when I'm at my best, the times when I'm most at peace, and these are some of the promises you can claim, the times when I'm empowered are when I've submitted to God, when I'm walking in fellowship with him. And it's not, I think some people also get the wrong idea. Submission to God is not slavery, like we normally consider slavery, because we're submitting to a loving God. We're not.
It's actually freedom.
Actually, yes, because we think we think if I do my own thing, then I'm free. Well, and that, well, you know, and I know, when we've worked in, you know, social services, and you, of course, in, you know, your field and me and mine, we know what that does to people. Usually they end up in worse bondage than ever because I just want to go out and do my own thing. Okay. Sure. And I end up with drug addiction or whatever, you know. And we have so many promises that we can claim because of what Jesus did to keep us out of that bondage, to keep us free. And, you know, we've talked about so many things that we need to do to be able to walk in the promises. The first is understand that Jesus bought those promises. You know, Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20, that all the promises of God are yes in Jesus. Now, that's a pretty wild statement. Every promise you can find is yes in Jesus, to which we add the amen, which means so be it. So we can agree because every promise is yes in Jesus. You know, there's not a promise in the Bible that's not backed up by the blood of Jesus. And because of that, we can say amen. It is so. And that's just great. And God, I just want to remind our listeners again, God loves you. Submitting to God, letting Jesus into your life is not, you don't give up who you are. Believe me, I never gave up who I was. It's just God uses you to bring about his kingdom, his work on earth. If you've got needs, God's there to take them. If you need healing, if you need deliverance, if whatever your needs are, God is there to minister to those needs. God is there to heal you, to deliver you, to save you, to protect you, to give you peace, to make you the person that he designed you originally to be. But you need to take that first step of submission, that first step of coming to him. So I want to play our final song. It's called Who Am I by Casting Crowns.
That the Lord of all the earth would care to know my name, would care to feel my hurt. Who am I that the bright and morning star would choose to light the way for my ever wandering heart? Well, not because of who I am, but because of what you've done. Not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. I am a flower quickly fading, here today and gone tomorrow. A wave tossed in the ocean, vapor in the wind. Still you hear me when I'm calling, Lord, you catch me when I'm falling. The calm, the sea would call out through the rain and calm the storm in me. Not because of who I am, but because of what you've done. Not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. Because of what you've done, not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. I am a flower quickly fading, here today and gone tomorrow. A wave tossed in the ocean, a vapor in the wind. Still you hear me when I'm calling, Lord, you catch me when I'm falling. You told me who I am. I am yours. I am yours. I am
Again, I love that song. It's and that pretty well sums up, you know, our what we talked about Angel before the song. It's not who I am, it's who he is. It's not what I've done, but what he's done. And that's, you know, that's what makes the difference. I just want to read a final set of scriptures, and then we'll talk about those and go into our final thoughts. And I do want to pray for our audience today, too. But Hebrews chapter 10, starting with verse 19. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence and full freedom to enter the holy place, the place where God dwells, by means of the blood of Jesus, by this new and living way which he initiated and opened for us through the veil, as in the Holy of Holies, that is, through his flesh. And since we have such a great and wonderful priest who rules over the house of God, let us approach God with a true and sincere heart, in unqualified assurance of faith, having had our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us seize and hold tightly to the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is reliable and trustworthy and faithful to his word. I think those are great scriptures to kind of finish up the show with, because we have confidence to enter into God's presence because of what Jesus did. And we can hold fast. I love this. Excuse me. In verse 23, seize and hold tightly the confession of our hope without wavering. I mean, that's a wonderful thing, because he who promised is reliable and trustworthy and faithful to his word. Which kind of sums up what we've talked about. As God was faithful with Abraham, so he's faithful with us. Any comments, Angel?
Oh, I think, first of all, I love that song. You're right. It is not about me. It is about who he is. And the more I learn who he is, the more I build that confidence in him, you know, because our human part of us, just we think of God as we think to our closest, most intimate, trustworthy relationships, and humans fail, and God does not ever fail.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, and he's faithful. I just love that. We can seize and hold tightly the confession of our hope without wavering. No matter what we see happening, we know that God, who promised, is reliable and trustworthy and faithful. So what I'd like to do is just remind our listeners that we serve an amazing God. We serve a God who loves us no matter what. God loves you. It doesn't matter what you've done, what you think you've done, who you are. Nothing matters. Not your background, your race, your ethnicity, your sexuality. None of that matters to God. What matters is he loves you and sent Jesus to die for you. He gave you himself in Jesus. And through Jesus' shed blood, he calls you to himself. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 that God has reconciled the world to himself through Jesus. And that is that's a wonderful thing. And something only God could do. Because God, I want to just say this as bluntly as I know how. God's not mad at you anymore. That was taken care of on the cross. Now you have something you need to do, which is respond. Which is respond to God. He's done everything he can possibly do. All you need to do is say yes to him. So I just want to pray for our listeners right now. Lord, I just pray in the name of Jesus. Father, we come before you. I lift up our listeners to you. Lord, you know the many needs that are represented by those who listen to this show. And you are greater than those needs. You are greater than any need that any of our listeners have. And Father, I pray that if there's anyone out there who has not accepted Jesus, who has not asked Jesus to be their Savior and Lord of their life, that you would work in their lives right now. Father, minister to them. Let them know how much you love them. Let them know that in Jesus, they too have been forgiven, and all they need to do is to say yes to you. All they need to do is submit to you. And in your love, Lord, you will raise us up, as it was talked about in the song by Casting Crowns. You'll raise us up. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray where there's sickness, that you would bring healing. Where there's brokenness, you would bring wholeness. Where there's death, Lord, you will bring life. And where there's bondage, Lord, you will bring freedom. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just loose your Holy Spirit over our listening audience. Holy Spirit, move upon these, on our listeners. Be the Spirit of truth to them. Be the Spirit of life to them. Bring healing and joy, Lord. Restore joy where there's sadness. And Father, we give you all the glory and the praise through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, Angel, can you believe 2 hours have gone? Come and gone nearly?
You know, this show always flies by for me.
Me too. And again, I apologize. I'm getting over a cold. So praise God, I'm over it. And I have a praise report. The last 2 weeks ago when I did the show, my left ear was so clogged up I couldn't hear anything, and it stayed that way. And Pastor, I know, had been praying for it. Yesterday, my left ear opened up, and I can hear out of it again. Praise Jesus. I am really happy.
That is awesome, and that's a great praise report.
You probably heard me Wednesday night trying to sing. I just finally stopped. But plus, I couldn't hear half the music, so I'm just really praising God because of that. But give us, kind of sum up what all we've talked about, Angel, today, if you could, please. Give me some final thoughts.
Final thoughts is, I think we just got to really get proactive and get in and build ourselves up with who our God is. We have to start focusing and growing our faith, and we can only do that by knowing him better and taking those moments. And I know we have busy lifestyles and we are always going and going and going, but we can't afford not to do this. The world is just full of chaos and hate mm-hmm. and confusion. And if that's what we're focusing on, then we're going to feel that and we're going to be that, and we're not going to be his light. And we are the hope, because we have the hope of Christ, and we need to start feeding that hope so we can walk in that hope.
Right, right. And yeah, and I know I said we were done with scripture, but another one just came, and I had just read this from Colossians chapter 3. Let me see. Maybe not. Well, maybe it's actually in Philippians. Well, it's where God talks about, it's one of the letters Paul wrote, and I can't find it right at the moment, but it talks about, you know, there's two translations, holding fast to the light, the word of light, or holding forth. And I like them both, because we need to hold on to the word, but we also need to shine it forth. And that's what you were saying, is we have to shine the light of what we have inside of us to the world. And, you know, I'm just really praying that God will use me, use you, Angel, use Beacon, to be that beacon of hope and light to the world. Because, you know, we stand, kind of going back to the very beginning of the show, we stand on the promises of God, and we believe the word of God as the final authority.
Absolutely.
And every promise in there is for us. I just tell our listeners, meditate on that promise. Like Angel said, you know, get yourself grounded in the word. Get yourself grounded in a Bible-believing church. Get yourself grounded in praise. I tell you, nothing helps me drive home from work than putting on a Christian radio station and singing, because traffic on 19, you know, can be a little treacherous at times. You know, so praise God for, you know, for that. So, but
absolutely, and know that He is faithful and just to finish the work that He has started in us, and
amen.
He'll see it through to completion. And we may not be where we want to be, and we may still have lots of flaws and faults, but God uses everything. Nothing goes to waste.
Amen. Oh, that's, and I love that. Nothing goes to waste. Nothing that we do, I don't want to say, you know, God will fix it, but in a sense He will, but He'll use it either to bless other people, to bless us, or to teach us, you know?
Absolutely.
And that's a great thing. So, and just want to remind our listeners before we go off the air that, again, we meet at the Red Roof Inn on 3580 Olmerton Road, 6 o'clock for prayer, 6:30 for praise and worship and interactive Bible study. Please remember Go Yard, which is on Thursdays at 6:06, right after the news. And that would be Dr. Angel again and Mama Mac with the Life Coaching Show. And also remember, you can also listen to this on tantalk1340.com, because our wonderful engineer, Pete, will be putting this up shortly. Yay. Also,
yay.
They are periodically, like once a month, uploaded onto our website, which is bohmglobal.com. And you can also listen to starcomradionetwork.com. Saturday and Sunday, 10 a.m. for Living the Good Life, 12 noon for Go Yard. So, again, I just want to thank all of our listeners. Angel, I want to thank you for being on with me. It has been a pleasure.
Absolutely. I love being on with you, Pastor.
Oh, thank you. I love being on with you, too. So, again, this is Living the Good Life, Radio Ministry of Beacon of Hope. And just remember, it's not far to Jesus.
Safely to His side. There's no need.